Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Always thinking of trying new things. Like, that's a spice of life, right? Mm-hmm. Get out of your comfort zone. Try something that normally, if you were describing yourself to someone, you go, no, that person would never do this.
Sure.
And then go do those things. Did you ever have a pen pal?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay. Was this through school?
It was through school, and it was really difficult because it was like a German pen pal because I was learning German.
International pen pal.
So, like, we were learning German and they were learning English, so they would write the letters to us in English and we would write back in German.
That is a tough lesson.
Especially when, like, your level of German is, like, kindergarten level. So it's like, what's your colour?
You just keep saying, I am Jess.
Yeah.
I am Jess. How are you?
I go to school. Yeah.
Swimming pool.
I guess in that sense, not much of a pen pal, okay. Because do I remember anything about the person I wrote to? Absolutely not.
Do you think, live brainstorm / think tank, do you think it would be fun if the show obtained a pen pal?
Oh, that could be fun.
Initially I was thinking just somewhere here, but now I'm liking international.
I feel
like, hey, we're Tim and Jess, we're a radio show in Geelong. Let's learn about someone over in Europe or in, like, South America or
Can we reach out to a radio station over there?
Become pen pals with another radio station?
Like, pen pals, but, like, on-air pen pals. So, like, we will call them.
Oh.
And we'll check in, like, once a month.
That's just a phone call,
and just see what's happening in Denmark. Do you know what I mean? Like,
What's
going on in Canada?
I like the idea of either a physical letter or, like, it's an online...
Right.
Like, an online pen pal system. And we operate as, like, Tim and Jess, as we always do, and we're just getting to know someone in a complete different world. Maybe if we do it online, it'll have auto-translate, which will be a huge
Well, you can see who listens to our podcast. Do we have any international listeners?
One American. But, I don't want to... Not that I'm... Like, Maria, we love you.
So specific!
Yeah, well, I know it's Maria. I'm pretty sure. I think she's in Napa Valley in California.
Yeah.
I want to get to know someone that has that doesn't know the show. So it's like we all sign up and they're just like, let's learn about someone.
There's got to be like a website, like an Airbnb for pen pals.
I think it's called pen.pals.
Oh, is it really?
But it looked like you got to pay for the account.
Ah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, 522-322-955. Have you got an idea of who our pen pal could be?
How did people get pen pals before the internet?
I imagine it was like set up through schools or maybe you went traveling and you go, oh yeah, I've got my pen pal. I met him in Venezuela and we catch up all the time. We write to each other all the time kind of deal. Because I never, besides Flat Stanley in our school, that's probably as close
Flat
as I
Stanley.
Got. You didn't have a Flat Stanley?
What's Flat Stanley?
Flat Stanley was like a little figure, it would be a piece of paper you would cut out and it was like a human shape. And his name was Stanley and you would color him in. And then you would give Flat Stanley to your grandparents. And then they would come back and they'd be like, what did you do with Flat Stanley? And it'd be like, oh yeah, Flat Stanley, we went to the shops and we went to the movies.
We had Corduroy Bear.
Yeah.
Corduroy Bear went to different families.
Okay.
And then he left our school and went to another school.
Ah.
Yeah.
I hate to break your heart here.
Mm.
I reckon he just went back into a box in the...
No, don't say that.
In the teacher's
Corduroy Bear. he travelled the world in those corduroy overalls.
I'm sure he did.
I saw the book, Tim.
I think Flat Stanley would have been cheaper for school. Yeah. Just print out a piece of paper, colour it in. Yeah, that's Stanley. That's Flat Stanley.
There he is.
But yeah, if you are at K-Rock Geelong, shoot us a message if you want to become pen pals. Because I think it would be great to, and then we could, every month, we could read out the correspondence. We'll read what we've said. We'll read what they've sent back to us. And we'll get to know someone on the other side of the world.
This is much better than your idea of becoming pen pals with the trees.
We still are a pen pal with a tree that lines up against the MCG in Melbourne.
It never wrote back, though.
No, remember, it was like, thanks. Oh, it's been a bit windy lately, but I'm doing just fine. And I was like, all right, I understand. It's a council thing. So I'm not going to write back to this tree. And it seemed a more fun idea in principle.
Yeah.
But here we are. This is Tim and Jess. So we have become a little bit obsessed with Taskmaster Australia.
We love it.
Continues tonight on Channel 10 and 10 Play. And I don't know, it almost feels like unworthy. Because we are about to speak to the Taskmaster himself.
I know.
Tom Gleeson. Good afternoon, Tom.
Oh, good afternoon. Come on, you've got to back yourself. You're worthy. You know, the reason why I've come on your radio show is to get the word out to Australia that you're the most successful drive show in the whole country, aren't you? Well,
that's what they say, Tom. One? Yes, absolutely.
That's what they told me. They told me you're number one in the ratings.
Number one in people's hearts.
That's the reason I'm here.
Yeah. Well, they did the radio ratings before we moved here, but we'll take the number one. But
okay.
You're number one in the sense of you are the taskmaster. You are the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-terror-inducing taskmaster. How have you enjoyed coming back for this season of Taskmaster, Tom?
Well, the thrill of doing it now is the live audience have seen three seasons because this is season four. TV audience is on side, the crowd's on side, and so... And also, you know, we've got really big names turning up to be on the show now, and I just get to tear them to pieces on national TV. It's a treat.
Tom, we did speak to Dave Hughes last week, and Hughesy said that you were particularly mean to him. Is there any?
He's not a well man. He seemed very personally attacked by you.
Well, I feel like, because I've known him since the 90s, I feel like I can lean into him the heaviest.
Yeah.
Plus he's... You know, he's a very successful, wealthy comedian. I think he can, you know, he can withstand the blast. His career's going to be fine.
Yeah.
All right, that's good to know. We were a bit worried for Hughesy there. He does keep coming on our show and begging for work. So there might be some
reason. He said he was happy to drive the K-Rock car around and hand out cans of Coke. So I don't know, maybe check in on you, mate. Tom, we do, I feel like you have the best job in all of Taskmaster. Like, you get to sit there and judge all of the other the players.
Yeah, you don't have to watch. You don't have to run around. You just get to watch it all
do
unfold.
Do you ever like watch some of these tasks and go, oh, these idiots, I would do so well at this.
I know. And not only that, I don't even have to stand up.
Yeah.
I get to sit in a really big comfy chair.
So true.
And just, it's very, I've got the best chair in the studio. It's very relaxing. And I just get to sit there and abuse these comedians to their faces with their efforts. You know what it's like? It's like Gogglebox, whereas I'm Lee and Keith combined,
Wow. And
I get to judge a TV show inside the TV show. It's the best.
That's very meta.
Very big names this year. Dave Hughes, Emma Holland, Lisa McCune, Takashi Wakasugi, and Tommy Little. Now, in the first episode, and we've seen in the ads as well, poor Takashi Wakasugi, the language barrier as English not being his first language. I think we've seen he was trying to figure out what sus was. It was do something sus with this pineapple. And he was asking, am I sus? Are you sus? Is that, surely you've got to award.
That's a bit cruel.
You've got to give innocence points there, right, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there was, when we used, especially when Hughesy and I would use what I'd consider old-fashioned jargon from the Australian lexicon, he would struggle a little bit. But, yeah, it was fun also getting him on board. You know, we did teach Waka quite a few new words.
That's worrying.
Actually. Yeah, that's
I was
going to
say that's good, but that's probably not good. What I love about Taskmaster as well, like you're saying, like a couple of seasons in now, before the first episode had even aired, you'd already announced the cast for the next season. It's in that much demand that people just love knowing, and then they still have to do the wait for next season. So do you get any say in, like, do you go, oh, I think this person would do really poorly or well, I want them on the show?
Oh, I've got nothing to do with the casting, which I'm thankful for, because back when I used to only do Hard Quiz would have contestants and they're the general public. And back then when I was only doing that show, comedians were only mildly interested in my career and what I was doing. But ever since I've hosted a show where comedians get to be guests, every time I go and do a gig, comedians are desperate to be my friend now. So I think they're all jostling for a position on Taskmaster. So I like it to be publicly known I have no say in the cast because I'm sick of comedians sucking up my ass.
Good to know.
Good,
all
put
right.
it out
I'm
there.
Sick of it.
It's great. We're so keen. Another episode. It continues tonight, 8:30 on 10 and 10 Play. The bonkers new season of Taskmaster Australia. The Taskmaster himself, Tom Gleeson. Thank you very much for coming by the Tim and Jess Show.
No worries. Thank you.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Jess, yesterday you found out right before the show that the Attorney General Governor of Marriages and Love...
Just the
signed off
Attorney General of Australia.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is it's so funny. So when you wanted to become a marriage celebrant, you do the course, you start wherever you study it. You studied at the Gordon, the absolute legends that sponsor the show, and then like you apply after that, and it's like a job. Like all the references.
Application is so hectic and involved.
Yeah.
I understand because it's a pretty, you know, intensive role. It's a
legally
legal role.
Binding system.
But yeah, the application itself took me like a week to prepare.
Does that mean, are you like a JP now?
No.
Oh, so you
no.
can't, ah.
I can witness.
I need a stat deck done.
I can't do stat decks. I can witness certain documents, but I can't. Yeah, I'm not a JP.
All right. So I've been thinking about it for the last 24 hours. We knew this day would come when you would legally become a married celebrant. So, like, could you do a wedding?
I could do a wedding right now. I mean, I'd have to, like, you
need the paperwork.
The paperwork needs to be filed a month in advance. So the earliest I could do a wedding would be. The 3rd of May.
Sorry, I'd realised that that's the most boring thing I've ever heard.
Well, you are.
Yeah, well, I didn't realise.
A lot of people don't know you have to file the paperwork that early.
I have one question.
Okay.
Does this mean, like, unofficially, you're a love doctor?
Oh!
I know you don't have a master's or a doctorate in it. But, like, this is the closest to a doctor of love.
This is probably the closest, yeah.
You could go on maths.
I'm literally getting people to marry each other.
No.
I'm
you're
telling them you are married.
You're not bringing them together. They bring themselves together, and then you say the nice things. Yep. You sign the paperwork. That's pretty close. If you get a doctorate in marriage celebrancy, you could be a doctor of love. Good opportunity.
Legally, there is no doctorate of marriage celebrancy.
There's a doctor for everything. You can be a doctor of Pokemon. You can be a doctor of love.
One of the requirements of the marriage celebrant is to make sure that both of the people getting married
want to
understand what they're getting themselves into. Because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I'm so excited about the wedding. It's like, yeah, but once the wedding's over, you are married. Yeah. Like, this is a marriage.
You're like, don't stuff this for me. If you get married and you hate it, this falls back on me. Don't you do it.
You have to legally get both parties' consent. So I have to pull aside the bride and the groom, or the groom and the groom. Okay.
So what happened? Are we at work?
Okay.
Sorry. You did that thing where it was the boring stuff again.
Well, it's not boring because it is like love doctor work. I have to make sure that they are committed and they're ready for this big step.
Sorry, Jess is doing the most aggressive hand gestures.
Committed.
It's a circle. Love is a circle. Yeah, I think this is pretty. You could be actually. Follow-up question to if you are a love doctor, is this your eventual progression to becoming an expert on maths? Because that Dr. John Aiken, more like Dr. joking around, what are you doing from what I've heard?
I should reach out to Channel 9 and see if I can do one of the weddings next year.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Do you hear the celebrants in the show? I've never seen an episode.
I think they skip all of our bits.
Probably not the most critical.
See? They'll start falling asleep like you. My weddings aren't going to be boring, Tim.
No, they won't. They won't. But the paperwork will be.
Yes.
But
that's your job. The paperwork is the boring part.
Figure it out. That's your job.
But the rest of it we can make super fun.
All right. Well.
So again, JessCarty.com.
No, again.
Reach out.
I've turned off your microphone. This is not a business plug.
I'm taking weddings. I'm taking bookings.
All right. I knew, and it took the day it happened for you to get your license to start pitching for work. You know you have to pay for commercial airtime for this. Otherwise, you're in big trouble.
My name's on the show, bro.
Yeah, we'll put your dollars in.
This is Tim and Jess.
Borderline, heads up, warning, this story's got some weird elements.
Okay.
Maybe for young ears, just turn the volume down. For 3 minutes,
okay,
we'll be in the clear. Even like, I'll give like an immediate warning, and then I'll give like a, all right, next 10 seconds, shush, and then we can come back.
Are we about to lose our radio license? What are you?
Yeah, well, I guess you're coming down with the ship, hey?
Oh, God.
Tim and Jess.
Okay.
So.
Excellent. End my career. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Can we talk about Jessica Simpson?
Yes.
Now, in the 2000s, she's very popular. She was a singer. She was in movies. She had her own reality TV show.
Yes. She was like the beginning of that reality TV show where you follow celebrities around.
She was married to like a dancer, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
His name was Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey.
He was in a band. He was in a boy band or a dancer. I don't know. But her this is one of her songs.
Their show was called Newlyweds, I think.
Something
they
along
just
those
got
lines.
Married. Yeah.
Here's her song With You.
Just the epitome of the 2000s.
Yeah, it's a good pop song.
Yeah.
It's a good pop song. She is in the news. So she was big in the 2000s. She was in like Dukes of Hazzard. Mm-hmm. She was in a whole bunch of movies. Like very like flavor of the year kind of deal. And yeah, haven't heard much of her. She's 44 now. She shared a video of her hanging out in the studio, still singing. She still makes music.
Okay.
Would you be shocked to know that our system, which has tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of song in it, our song library, none. The only song we have is one.
We have one Jessica Simpson.
And I played a snippet of it
I couldn't name you another Jessica Simpson song.
Yeah. Ashley Simpson, her sister, had a couple of good pops as
well. That's what I was going to name an Ashley Simpson song. They're not the same person.
Now, she has a tip, I guess, to keep her pipes in tip-top shape that her vocal coach recommended. It's a drink. It's got a pretty weird ingredient, though.
Is it something that I could, you know, pick up from Coles? Or?
No. So it's kind of like a tea, she said. But there's different things in it, like gingers, I'm pretty sure is in there.
I like a little bit of ginger tea when I've got a sore throat.
So I'm going to do the thing where I say don't listen for 5 seconds.
Okay,
now, if you got young ones in the car.
All right. Could you not use like a
No, it's not a crude
word.
It's not a crude word. Okay. Just it's probably not necessary to hear. All right.
All right.
So turn your radio down in a couple of seconds. 1, 2, 3. It's got snake sperm in it.
Oh, I didn't know that they could.
And we're back. And we're back. Sorry. Hello, Tim and Jess here.
How would one obtain that extra ingredient for her drink?
I'd prefer to not answer.
Fair enough.
Let's just say it's a medical thing.
Right.
So yeah, that's in the drink. Direct quote.
What about that? Like, who discovered?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, how did we get to milk?
Yeah.
Who was looking at a cow and thought, maybe?
Who was looking at a snake and thought,
maybe
this will make my vocal cords sing?
Where are the udders on this snake? How are we going to? There's only one. What are we going to do here? So apparently, direct quote from Jessica Simpson, it tastes like honey.
Oh.
So if you want a good vocal, you got to drink that.
Bit of snake. I question the anatomy of the snake. I don't know enough about it to understand
like where it is.
How this is happening.
Yeah, look, could you be shocked on a work computer? I didn't want to delve too deep into this. It'd be like red warning, beam, beam.
You used to care about this show.
Access denied. So yeah, I thought what we could do, because that's wild. I promised a wild story. Do you feel like it's still living?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.